The Bible is God's word. God speaks to us through the Bible. Every word in the Bible comes from God himself. And that includes the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, his going up to heaven. And we're going to look at one of those eyewitness accounts now. It's from a man called Mark. He, if you like, was the Apostle Peter's biographer. He wrote down everything that Peter told him about the things that he saw. So if you can please turn to Mark chapter 15, which you'll find on page 1023. We're going to start at verse 42 and go through to 16 verse 8. And Faith is going to come and read those words to us now. So she comes up, you'll find Mark 15 verse 42, page 1023.
It was preparation day. That is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, placed it in the tomb, cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Solomon bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were too afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, Paul said that because we've been risen as we've trusted in Christ, that we're to set our minds on things above. We pray that as we look at your word now, as we think about Jesus and the resurrection, set our minds on things above. May we see Jesus, the Lamb of God who took away our sins, the Lord of life who reigns over death, the King of the universe who is returning for his people. And may that cause us to rejoice and worship him, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read a story this week about a Scottish guy who was miraculously, I mean, every conversion, every person coming to faith in Jesus is miraculous, but he'd been saved from a life of, which was pretty awful. He was into all sorts of violence and gangs and drugs, and he'd been saved, and it was his first Easter at church. And someone went up to him and said, "Look, you might find that some people come up to you this morning and they say to you, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. And you're supposed to say in response, he's risen indeed, Hallelujah." It's very thoughtful of that person, wasn't it? So a few minutes later, someone comes up to him and says, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen." And he says, "I knew do about it." Was that good, Mike? Say it again. You say it for me. He said, "I." There you go. That's how he said it. Now, the guy didn't get the words right, but he got the belief right, yeah? He said there was no doubt about it, Christ was risen. The question is, why? Why no doubt about it, and does it really matter? Why no doubt about it? Because over 50% of people in the UK, so if you went out, at least every other person you were asked would say they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And only 16% believe in the actual bodily resurrection of Jesus as it's described for us in the Bible, including here in Mark 16. So why is this guy, and why are so many of us here this morning, so confident that Jesus did rise from the dead? Why is there no doubt about it? And is it really that important? Does it really matter that Jesus bodily rose from the dead? Well, Paul makes it really clear that if he didn't rise, if Jesus didn't bodily rise from the dead, there is absolutely no point in you being a Christian. There is no point being here today. There's no point singing these songs. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says there, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, he's saying those who have already died who believed in Jesus, they're lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. He's not just saying this is important. He's saying this is critical. This is essential. No resurrection, no forgiveness of sins. No resurrection, no hope in the face of death. No resurrection, no life after death. Everything, your life, your death, and what happens beyond, everything hinges on the resurrection. And we're going to see why. We're going to look at the three R's of the resurrection: reality, reason, response. Reality, reason, response. First of all, the reality of the resurrection. So, Bibles open, looking down at Mark 16. Have a look there at what it says. Three ladies are on their way to Jesus' tomb. Can I have three ladies, please? Volunteers. Oh, I thought that was you then, Claire. You got up at that point. But can I have three girls? Three girls. Come on, Naomi. You're always got my back here, haven't you? You come here. Go down there. Oh, that way. Okay. I need two more. Come on, don't leave out. Yeah, come on, Raya. Come on, Zara. Brilliant. Thank you. Now, what were the ladies taking with them to the tomb? Spices. Okay, you can see that there. So, I didn't have any burial spices. What I've got is you can take the mixed spice, you can take the ground ginger, and you can take the cardamom pods, okay? And off they went. Go on a loop around the church for me. Off they went. They went to there. Now, what are these? Slowly, it's a very mournful time, okay? And it's still dark, so you might trip. What were they expecting to find when they got to the tomb? Chris? They're expecting to find the body of Jesus. You can come up here. They're expecting to find the body of Jesus. First of all, because they've got these spices, okay? They've gone to anoint Jesus' body, okay? The spices are to put on Jesus' body. It's a way that they care for a dead body, okay? What's the other thing that leads them to believe that they're going to find a dead body? Verse 3. What do you think it is? Huh? Who said that? Someone said the S word. Stone, yes, very good, stone. Okay, they are expecting to find the tomb sealed. Okay, that is because if you read back into chapter 15, the first bit that Faith read for us earlier, the women had seen Jesus die. They'd seen his body taken off the cross by this man, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph had handled Jesus' body and he had detected absolutely no signs of life, so he'd put him in his tomb. And these women knew that Jesus was dead and they knew where his body was buried. The point here is that nobody doubted Jesus was dead and they knew exactly where he'd been put. They knew where to go. The problem they had was that there was this big stone in the way of the tomb and they didn't know how to get in. Now, if they don't know how to get in, nobody can get out. They're expecting to find the body, dead body of Jesus. What do they find instead? You can shout it out. Come on. They find it empty. They find angels, right? They find an angel. Now, I'm going to need a volunteer for that bit. Who's going to be? Oh, Boaz, you are my angel. This is my youngest son. Come on up. Come on up, all right? Come be my angel. What was the angel wearing? White. Freshly laundered bedsheet. Lovely. Okay, now, what was the angel doing? See, he was what? He was sitting down, Okay? He had taken a seat. That's what I want you to remember. Seat. First of all, the stone had been rolled away. We were told the stone was very large. Now, scale model, okay? I couldn't get the actual stone in here because it was too big. And if I got it in here, this floor is already on its last legs. It would have been. So I've got, we're scaling it down, okay? All right? Benny. Benny the boulder. I want you to try and move this stone. Ladies, step back. Look at him. He is geared up and ready to go. Come on. You can't help him. Take a step back. Is he going to take a run up for it? Come on, Benny. Roll the stone. Roll the stone, Benny. Roll the stone. Push. 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 You're... Oh, never mind. You can have a chocolate anyway. Round of applause for Benny. Yeah. I'm so pleased that worked. The point is, it's so heavy, they can't move it. Okay? Someone very powerful must have moved this stone. See, I don't know what all the fuss is about. Someone very powerful must have moved this stone. Okay, next thing they find is they find the tomb empty. Okay? Read there verse 6 again. What does it say? Somebody read it out loud for me. Verse 6. Someone read it out really loud. Very good. Can you catch? Rob Duck. Oh, sorry, Joe. Lethal, this place. Yeah, so they go in, and the place where there was a body, there isn't a body anymore. And you read in some of the other accounts that instead the grave clothes are very neatly folded up and laid there. He's not here. He's risen just as he said he would, okay? Then you've got the angel. We've noticed the angel. He's there sitting down. But angels in the life of Jesus turn up to announce really important, significant events that are all part of God's plan to save people from their sins, okay? This is the ultimate big announcement. Angel, and then that should say tell. Sorry, that's my fault. That should say tell. Go and tell people. Go and tell people that you will see him. That you'll see him. Not a ghost. Not a dream. You're going to see him. You're going to touch him. You're going to speak to him. You're even going to be able to eat with him. In the Bible, there are at least 10 different occasions recorded where people see the risen Jesus. And they see him, and they speak to him, and they touch him, and they eat with him. One occasion we're told that over 500 people saw him at the same time. And listen to how the angel described Jesus. How does he describe Jesus? He says he's Jesus the Nazarene. That's a curious way to describe Jesus at that point, isn't it? Jesus from Nazareth. You know what he's saying? This is the same Jesus you met at the lake in Galilee that first time. Same guy. This is the same Jesus that you followed around for the past few years. This is the same Jesus you saw crucified on the cross. This is the same Jesus you saw died. This is the same Jesus you saw buried. It is the same Jesus that Mark has presented to us throughout his gospel. Not a different Jesus, not a shadow Jesus, the real Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. Now, this is not all the evidence for the resurrection. It is a lot of it. But it's showing us that the actual bodily resurrection of Jesus is a historical reality. Yeah, you've worked hard. You sit down, ladies. So much so, this reality is so true that his followers who aren't even at the tomb, it's just these three ladies, where are the other disciples? They are hiding in fear and depression because it all looks like it's just fallen apart, those fearful disciples, they go from being cowards to being courageous. They give their lives, quite literally give their lives, to telling people that Jesus is risen. Watch out, Benny's back for another chocolate. Jesus is risen. They are willing to suffer prison and torture and execution because death has no fear for them anymore because they have seen and touched and spoken to the risen Jesus. Which leads us to the second R, the reason for the resurrection. Ladies, you've done a marvelous job. Take a chocolate and go and sit down. Leave my spices, though, otherwise my curry won't taste as good this week. There you go. Just take one. Anyone. Quick. You don't want anyone? Oh. Purple. Good choice. Brilliant. There you go. Thank you very much. Thank you. Give them a round of applause, everybody. Thank you. Angel, you stay. Now, we're told, so the reason for the resurrection, first of all, victory. So we are told that the angel is sitting on the right, okay? Other accounts tell us what he's sitting on. Do you know what he was sitting on? On the right-hand side. Other accounts in the Bible, he was sitting on what? Anybody guess? Yes, Jack. Stone. Very good. Kinder Egg coming your way. You're a visitor. I'm really sorry if I hit you. Yes, great. Sit on the stone. Looks like he's laid an Easter egg. Now, what does that symbolize? I don't know if anybody here watches wrestling, all right? Remember, this is my son, okay? What you're about to witness is perfectly legal, okay? What happens in wrestling is they take the guy and they slam him on the ground, and sometimes what they do is they do this, right? Yeah? Or they do this. What am I showing? Victory! Don't move. My goodness, thank you very much. Round of applause for my angel. You can take one. Quick. There you go. Merry Christmas. Okay. Man, if this goes on too long, you know why, all right? It's the children are taking too long for the eggs, all right? It's a sign of victory. He is showing that Jesus has got the grave to submit to him, that Jesus has got death to submit to him. Jesus is victorious over the grave. So victory, next thing we've got, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Somebody, verse 7 there, look at verse 7 for me. Verse 7 says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is a going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Do you notice the angel specifically names Peter? Now, why would Peter need to have his name mentioned specifically? Why do you think that might be? Well, because Peter's probably in a room right now thinking he's an absolute lost cause. He fell asleep when Jesus needed him to pray. He ran away when Jesus needed him to be there. He denied that he'd ever known Jesus. Rather than standing with Jesus, Peter knew he had absolutely wrecked that relationship. That he disappointed and let Jesus down. That he had sinned against Jesus. There is no hope for Peter, except Jesus says, or the angel says, that Jesus is going to see him again. That there is a way back for him. That Jesus can forgive him and Jesus can restore that relationship. I don't know if you're a Christian here this morning and you have been feeling the weight of how you have disappointed Jesus. You've let him down. You've not stood as you should have stood for the faith. That you've not loved and honored Jesus as you should. And you feel the weight of that failure. The empty grave is speaking to you this morning. Jesus can forgive you. Jesus will restore you. But actually, every one of us has sinned against Jesus. The Bible is very clear that all of us have rejected Jesus. We've rebelled against Jesus. We've done things that have denied Jesus. The Bible calls it sin. Young people, we often talk about sin as S-I-N. What does it stand for? Shove off God. I'm in charge, not you. That's the attitude of sin. Shove off God. I'm in charge, not you. We've all done that. And sin, as with all serious bad behavior and attitudes, sin comes with a penalty or a punishment. And the cross shows us that that penalty and punishment is death. That we all face death because of sin. And here, Jesus is showing that he can forgive our sin because his death can take away our death penalty. That his death can be offered in place of our death. That his death is enough to permanently forgive and remove all our sin so that we can have the promise of his resurrection life. That even though we die, we've declared it earlier, even though we die, we will still live with Jesus as the living Savior forever. So there's forgiveness. And that means there's trust. You can trust what Jesus said. He told his followers time and time again, we're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to die, but then I'm going to rise again 3 days later. And he did. He did. He did what he said he was going to do. That means you can trust what Jesus says. It means you can trust that he is honest. He does what he says he will do, and that he's powerful enough to do what he says he can do. He can do it, because you need both, don't you? It's no point someone saying, yeah, I'll do that for you, if they've got absolutely... I mean, Benny told me he was going to move this stone for me this morning. He's let me down. Not because he didn't want to. He tried pretty hard, but he couldn't. So you've got to be able to do the things you've got to say, but also you've got to be reliable enough. You've got to want to do the things that you said you're going to do. Well, Jesus does both. He is someone who can be trusted. That means you can trust everything he said about himself, about who he is. He is the Son of God, come to take away our sins. It means you can trust everything about what he did. And it means you can trust his promises. You can trust that he will forgive you. You can trust that he will love you. You can trust that he will provide for you in every season of your life. You can trust that he will protect you through death into eternal life. You can trust that he will be ready to welcome you when you see him again. You can trust that he will bring you into his new creation. You can trust that when he returns, he's going to fix everything. He's going to make everything right. He's going to take away everything that is wrong. He's going to take away everything that is sad and painful. And he's going to take away death itself. Amen? Amen? And that means you can trust Jesus with your life. You can trust him with your death. And you can trust him with what comes next. And this is not just a theory. It's not just an interesting idea. It's just not something to be debated. It's not something just to comfort us when things are tough, although it does. We're talking about life and death. Some of us have lost people we love to death, haven't we? And it's really, really painful. It's really painful because it permanently separates us. We don't see that person anymore. We can't talk to that person anymore. We can't ask them for advice anymore. We can't hear them encourage us anymore. We can't hug them anymore. We can't laugh with them anymore. We can't do the things that we loved to do with them anymore. It's gone, and nothing can stop it from happening. Everyone dies in the end. Now, I know someone who visited a friend of theirs who was dying. They died 2 days or so after they visited. And the friend said to this person I know, Christ has risen. I am going to stand before God in a few days' time. Do you have any idea how precious the resurrection is to me? And that is because all the things that death takes away, Jesus brings back. Jesus brings back. Because there's a really important thing about this. We are all going to see Jesus. Not just Peter, not just the disciples. We will all see Jesus again. The Bible tells us about a day when every single person is going to see Jesus. And on that day, every single person is going to be judged by Jesus. And the resurrection is the proof of that. That's Acts 17, verse 31. Each one of us will one day have to stand before Jesus and give an account for how we have responded to him. And for those who have trusted in Jesus, for those who have asked him to forgive their sins by his death on the cross, for those of us who have believed in his resurrection to eternal life, for those of us who have committed our lives to living for him, we are given the gift of eternal life with Jesus in glory. For those of us who haven't, for those of us who have refused Jesus, for those of us who have decided we don't need any sin forgiving, or at least we can make up for it on our own, for those of us who haven't believed in the resurrection, for those of us who have rejected Jesus by living our life for us rather than living our life for him, then we do face death. And if death is separation, then it is the eternal separation from God and the eternal separation from all that is good that comes from God. It's an eternity under his judgment. That's the reality of the resurrection. And it's the reason we rejoice in the resurrection. And so what's your response going to be? Look again at the Bible. How did the ladies respond? Verse 8, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I don't think you can blame them. It's not that surprising. You go to find a dead body, you find an angel and nobody. Okay? That's pretty terrifying, okay? Anybody who sees angels in the Bible generally ends up bewildered, confused, what on earth was that, and absolutely terrified because they've come into the presence of something that is supernaturally pure, okay? And the thing is, I think we read this and we're like, oh yeah, okay, we are way too comfortable with the resurrection. It's amazing. We, in some sense, should be like, whoa, falling down terrified because someone has come back from death. Nothing in human history compares to it. This is God doing the ultimate miracle, the miracle that only God can do, and it changes everything. But I don't know about you, but this isn't exactly a great ending, is it? You finish your gospel, because this is where it originally finished. This is Mark's original ending. The bits you have in italic are like the director's cut afterwards, okay? This is like the original ending. It's a very strange place to finish, isn't it? Like, this is it, the culmination of the resurrection. You've got three ladies absolutely terrified running off and not saying anything to anyone. Well, Mark said at the start of his gospel that this is the beginning of the good news about the Messiah, about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Okay? It's the beginning of the good news. Now, we've seen why it's good news. It's good news because the resurrection brings victory and forgiveness. It means we can trust, and it means that there's eternal life. But the ladies running out is like, it's like the cliffhanger you end season one on. Okay? It's just the beginning. What happens next? Well, they must have told someone, right? I know it says they ran out and they didn't tell anyone because they were afraid, but at some point they must have told someone. Do you know why they must have told someone? Because you're reading it right now. Because you're here right now reading their testimony that Jesus rose from the dead. They went from fear to faith to speaking. Okay? They must have done because I'm here, you're here, we're reading Mark's gospel, we're reading their testimony, we are believing and worshipping in the risen Jesus. And just to labour that point, I've asked a few people if they would just share the answer to two very quick questions, okay? The first question is, do you believe in the resurrection? The second is, what difference does it make, okay? So the first person, I've got the orange one, is that all right? First person is Andrew. Andrew, stand up for me, brother. Do you believe in the resurrection?
I do believe in the resurrection.
See, the confidence in that. I like that. And what difference does that make?
Well, one of the best chapters in the Bible for me is Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and verses 37. verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm. And 37 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And when I wake up in the morning, I certainly don't always feel confident, but my confidence is in the Lord because he rose from the dead.
Amen.
He died to save me, and he died so that I could be more than a conqueror in my daily life.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. I'm going to go next to Diana. Where's Diana? Well, she's moved from her usual spot. Diana's got slides, I think. Have we got the slides there, guys? Diana, why don't they get the slides up? Do you believe in the resurrection?
Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Tell us.
Yeah. Because God's in control. And it shows that even Jesus' awful, the worst event in history became the most best, beautiful, and he overcame death. But strangely, that knowing that isn't enough to get me through when I'm facing something really difficult. So I kind of need ongoing revelation, really, and little things. And I just thought I'd share with you the big thing that I learned in the last few days. You can see on the left, I'm talking about the veil of the tabernacle, which became the veil of the temple, which was torn open when Jesus died and made the way into the Holy of Holies. Sorry, just go back, Andrew. And on the left, you can see pictures of the veil, and you can see the colors of the veil at the top on the right. And the veil was four colors, red for blood, blue for heaven, purple for royalty, and white for purity. But the one color the veil did not have, which all the other materials had, was gold. And you can see the linen ephod on the priest has got gold. So why did it not have gold? And I was really blessed. The next slide. Thanks, Andrew. It didn't have gold because gold represents divinity. And Philippians tells us that Jesus didn't come. He laid aside his divine form and came in human form. And it was the human form that got torn at the cross. And that detail of the colors of the veil, which God gave Moses 1,400 years before Jesus even walked on earth, it just shows me even the little details, the color of the veil, just everything. God has a plan. It's detailed. It's perfectly in control. And that therefore I can kind of trust him, even though my life may not seem in control.
Thank you, Diana. That's great. Thank you. Marie, where have you gone? All the way back here. Thank you, Marie. Stand up for me. Do you believe in the resurrection?
Yes, I do.
And what difference does that make?
The joy and the peace and the freedom that I can find in salvation and just being able to have a relationship with the living God. Yeah.
Great. Amen. Guys, just monitor, reflect on these things. You know, God has a plan, joy, freedom, life, conquerors. These are amazing things. Jaden, I'm pleased you two have sat next to each other. I don't have to move. Jaden, can you stand?
Yeah, just
about. Jaden's one of the youngest men here. He's got the worst back. Do you believe in the resurrection?
Absolutely.
And what difference has that made?
Well, it changes the way that I live. The way I think, I have a relationship with him. If he didn't resurrect, I'd be having a relationship with someone that's dead, and I speak to someone, so he must be alive, you know. I chat to him all the time. I have that relationship. It's just important. He said he would resurrect, and he did, so you know, he's the way, the life, and the truth.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Charlotte, finish us off. Do you believe in the resurrection?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
What difference does that make?
It makes all the difference. As we sang this morning, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Jesus' resurrection changes everything for me. It gives me confidence that I too will be raised with him one day. Mm. That peace, there's nothing like it. The love that was displayed on the cross. Jesus personally died for me. It was my sin that nailed him to the cross. But his love in paying the ultimate price, and he gives me confidence because he raised from the dead. What a powerful God we serve.
Amen. Thank you, Charlotte. In fact, we have 20 different, at least 20 different nationalities in this church. I want you to say Christ is risen in your first language. I'm going to give you a minute to work that out, okay? Christ is risen in your first language. I want you to say it loudly if you believe it. Okay, I don't need that anymore, thank you. Loudly if you believe it, okay? Christ is risen. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Christ is risen. Okay, let's say it again. Christ is risen. Okay? And this is the thing. This testimony of the ladies, okay, this good news about Jesus, it went from them around the world. It went around the world over 2,000 years, so people are believing and they're receiving the forgiveness of Jesus and they're enjoying the life that he gives in victory over the tomb and they're looking forward to eternity. That's why there are people of all different tongues here this morning saying Christ is risen. So what will your response be? Confused? But you leave it there, you run away and you don't ask anybody any questions about it? Indifferent. It was a nice morning, it was good to talk and think about these things, but you've got more urgent or exciting things that you need to give your life to. I could ask you the question, if the reality and the reason for the resurrection is true, how can you walk away from this morning? If Jesus didn't rise, nothing else matters. If Jesus didn't rise, nothing else matters. By all means, eat what you want today. Drink what you want today. Tomorrow, you might die. That's it. Jesus didn't rise, nothing else matters. But if Jesus did rise, and the Bible says he does, and the people that you've just heard from said that he did, then nothing else matters apart from the fact that he lives. And that he reigns, and that he's returning. So, confusion, indifference, or will it be belief? Will you acknowledge that you need his forgiveness through his death? Will you trust that you have received life through his resurrection? Will you live in the light of his resurrection life? And will you look forward to one day being with him in his glory? Mark 16, verse 6. The angel says, you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Okay, what I want us to do is I just want to spend us a couple of minutes talking to the people around us, okay? Here are some questions to ask each other. If you're aged under 5, what did the women find when they got to the tomb? If you're between 5 and 7, what did the angel tell them about Jesus? If you're age 8 to 11, what did they think about what they saw and heard? What did the women think about what they saw and heard and why? And if you're over 11, that includes all the adults in the room, what difference does the resurrection make to how you live and why? Okay? If you've got a young person next to you, talk to them about it, okay? Ask them the questions. Young person, ask the adults the questions. Few minutes, there you go. Talk to each other. Okay, guys, we're going to come back together. Please do carry on those conversations over tea and coffee at the end. We're going to continue to respond to this now. The Muzwabukis are going to come and lead us in prayer. So, guys, please come on up.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this glorious day of Easter, we gather as your people with hearts full of praise and thanksgiving. We rejoice in the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, who conquered sin and death and opened the way for us to have new life in him. Lord, as we celebrate the risen Christ, fill this congregation with your presence. Let the truth of the empty tomb renew our faith, strengthen our hope, and deepen our love for you and one another. May the peace of Christ dwell richly among all of us today and always. We lift you up to the nations of the world, especially those torn by war and unrest. We pray for the people of Iran and Sudan and all of the other places where conflict, fear, and suffering prevail. Lord, in your mercy, please bring peace to where there is violence, bring healing to where there is pain, and bring hope where there is despair. May the power of the resurrection be known in these lands. Let your light shine in the darkest places, and may your peace, passing in all understanding, guard the hearts and minds of those in Christ. Help us, your church, to be instruments in that peace. Guide us to live as witnesses of your love, carrying the message of the risen Christ into our communities and into the world. We place our trust in you, O Lord, for you are making all things anew. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Father God, we come before you this Easter with grateful hearts, praising you for the incredible gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the cross, for his sacrifice, and for the love that was poured out for us. Thank you that through his death and resurrection, we are forgiven, restored, and given new life. Lord, we thank you that the grave is empty, that Jesus is alive, and that because he lives, we have a living hope, one that's not shaken by our circumstances or the challenges we face. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. We pray that this truth would not just be something that we celebrate today, but something that transforms the way that we live every day. Lord, renew our hearts, draw us closer to you, help us to lay aside anything that holds us back from fully following you, and give us the strength to walk in obedience and faith. Shape our character to reflect Christ in our words, in our actions, and in the way we love others. Father, we lift up those who are struggling today, those who feel weary, anxious, or alone. We ask that they would encounter your presence in a powerful and personal way. Remind them that because of Jesus, there is hope beyond their pain, peace in the midst of uncertainty, and joy that can be found even in difficult seasons. Help us as your people to carry that hope into the world around us. Let our lives be a reflection of your grace and truth. Give us boldness to live out our faith, to love sacrificially, and to point others to you in all that we do. We thank you again for the victory we have in Jesus, the victory over sin, over death, and over everything that once held us captive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your amazing grace and steadfast love. Thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, who died and rose again that we may be reconciled to you and brought into perfect peace. Lord, I pray for the leaders of the church, pastors, elders, and all those who shepherd your people. Grant them wisdom, humility, and love that they may faithfully lead others into the hope of your salvation. I pray for the church here at Elmstead. Lord, strengthen us to live out the freedom you have given us. And in our daily lives, help us to walk in confidence and hope, knowing that Christ is risen and you are with us, and that your Holy Spirit is at work within us. Give us boldness and gentleness to share this living hope with those who do not know you yet, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, and wherever you have placed us. May many come to know the joy of your grace, the free gift of salvation we have not earned, but we have received through Christ. Lord, I pray for those who may be returning to church for the first time or coming back for the first time in a long time this Easter. May they be met by love and kindness and find peace and hope in you wherever they are in their life journey. May they be encouraged to get to know you more and come to receive you as their Lord and Savior and enjoy this freedom you pour out to all those who receive it. I pray for the young people. Help them to really know you for themselves and to be rooted in your truth. In a world filled with so much darkness, I pray that you may protect them and lead them to grow up holding on to the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we also remember our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church around the world. Lord, please strengthen them with courage and endurance. In their suffering, remind them of the risen Christ, that he is with them, he is faithful, and that he is returning to take them home where there will be no longer any suffering. Sustain them by your Spirit and let their hope remain unshaken. Lord, we praise you and thank you for this special day. Amen.
And so, Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we are indeed able to come to you, the great God, the Almighty One, the one who sustains the universe, the one who created us in your beautiful image, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God who died for the sins of the world, but indeed you raised him from the dead on that third day. We thank you that we can testify together with the angels and the disciples that indeed saw him, as Paul accounts for us in that letter to the Corinthians, that Christ Jesus is indeed raised. And so we thank you that our faith is indeed not futile. We thank you that we can testify even today that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, according to the scriptures, and that indeed on the third day he was raised according to the scriptures, and more importantly, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. But Father, we thank you that those of us that you have called in Christ Jesus, those of us that you have saved by the only blood that can save and wash away our sin, that we will be raised with Christ Jesus, that we will reign with him. So we have no fear in life, we have no fear in death, because indeed we will be reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that Christ Jesus may come and come soon. In his precious name, amen.